you know, there was a time where I thought I should get into the business of being like a Bitcoin broker or exchange. I couldn't get banked. Like, all the Canadian banks will not give me a business bank account because I'm dealing with Bitcoin. Even though I'm trying to do it as legitimately as possible, they still just won't bank me because I'm competition and that's a threat to their monopoly. They didn't want to play together nicely, so now we're going to subvert them. We're going to just build a better system without them.
Welcome to Live with Bitcoin, where we delve into the human side of Bitcoin by focusing on Bitcoiners' personal transformations and life stories. I'm your host, Vivian. Thanks for tuning in. If you like and want to support our mission on shining light on the human side of Bitcoin, remember to subscribe to this channel, leave a comment, or send a few sats from link in the description. Today, we're welcoming two guests from Coinos, Adam Saltis and Cole from Coinos in Vancouver, Canada, who are on the ground every single day building the circular economy that we're all longing for through onboarding merchants onto the Bitcoin standard. In this episode, we will be chatting about introducing Bitcoin to people who are skeptical about Bitcoin, bridging between individual Bitcoiners, businesses, and the fiat system, as well as growing a local Bitcoin community. Welcome, Adam and Cole.
Thanks, Vivian.
Thanks for having us.
Let's start from telling us a bit more about Coinos, how long you've been around, and how are you working together?
Coinos has been around since 2012. It started in Vancouver. There was a meetup group happening back then. It was just me and maybe a handful of other people who were interested in Bitcoin. And we started going to local coffee shops and restaurants for our meetups. And it was a natural progression to ask the business owners there if they would take our payments in Bitcoin, because we were so excited that we had this new currency and we wanted to try it out. And we just thought it would be cool to be able to, you know, buy our coffees and our muffins that we're ordering to, during our meetups, if we could pay for them with Bitcoin. So I built Coinos as a simple web page that the business owner could use to put in their Bitcoin address and get a payment and do the price conversion from dollars to Bitcoin. And it's just sort of evolved from there. We got more and more businesses on board. And I kept on adding features to Coinos. So instead of just being a simple calculator, it's now a full-fledged wallet with Lightning Network and these other layers that help Bitcoin operate faster and cheaper. And
did I just hear 2012?
Yeah, that's my first commit on GitHub was back then. And then I took a hiatus for a while. So it's been sort of a labor of love on and off over the last 12 or 13 years, where I've set it aside and, you know, not much has happened with it for a few years at a time, but then I pick it up again. And lately, in the past 2 years, since teaming up with Cole, it's been our probably most vibrant and exciting time yet, where I've actually sort of gone full time on it the last little while and really polished it up to be like a product that other people can get on board with. And it's not just an experimental hobby thing for me anymore. It's a real app that, you know, lots of actual businesses are using, and we're taking it more seriously now, I guess. So I incorporated a company for it in 2020, so that was 4 years ago, and we're just kind of going along and trying to become more and more professional as we go.
Right. And how are you two dividing conquers?
I guess I'm the tech guy, like I'm the developer, and I handle a lot of the support requests when people are having bugs or issues with the app. And I'm the founder, so I guess I'm the, you know, I'm funding the project and the owner of the company. But Cole is like my business partner. He does business development, marketing, sales, social media, cold calling on the ground. I don't know, Cole, maybe you want to introduce yourself more and your role.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. My role with Coinos would be like Adam said, business development, marketing, promotion, social media, and talking to merchants, trying to onboard as many merchants as possible, preferably brick and mortar merchants that have physical locations, preferably in busy areas, areas where the Bitcoiners and the community have an easy way to access. And yeah, overall users, onboarding ambassadors, people, you know, educating users about CoinOS and then getting them to also talk to their friends that own businesses that want to sign up. And that has been our, this year so far has been our biggest year with onboarding ambassadors. I would say there's people in various countries, various provinces in Canada that are currently talking to their community, their Bitcoin communities in their other areas about merchant adoption. And we've had a lot of merchants come on board in places outside of BC, especially this year, last year as well, but especially this year.
If we look at the BTC map, Vancouver in the past couple of years have really become the Bitcoin city in North America in terms of the adoption rate of merchants. When you first getting started of doing this aggressively, how many merchants take Bitcoin as a payment method in Vancouver? And how about now?
Right now in Vancouver, CoinOS has approximately 65. And when you go on btcmap.org, it shows all places that are using Bitcoin, including ATMs. So not all of the pins on the BTC map website are actual brick and mortar locations we spend Bitcoin. And we have about, CoinOS has over 550 locations worldwide that are currently using us.
Wow, that's a lot. And one thing I really admire what you're doing is that once we become Bitcoiners, we kind of enter this confirmation bias with which we start to hang out with people who are Bitcoiners, where we aspire to hang out with them more. And then we talk to people, we share similar interests, we share similar values, which is all fair and square. But sometimes I hear criticism or pushback from people who are not yet Bitcoiners, saying that Bitcoiners can be a bit more, can be a bit exclusive, can be a bit, you know, like arrogant because they only hang out with their own packs. And you guys are doing really important work in terms of actively orange peeling businesses and people who are yet skeptical about Bitcoin in general, and encountering these pushbacks and these frustrations probably on a daily basis. And I bet convincing businesses to take Bitcoin, it can be easy, especially if they don't care about it or fully understand it. So what is your general approach in introducing Bitcoin to merchants who may not see the value right away?
Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions about Bitcoin still. Depending on who you talk to, they might think it's a Ponzi scheme or it's an outright scam that people are using, and they hear all the bad news about it, or that it's wrecking the environment because it uses so much energy for the mining. So people have all these bad negative impressions that are perpetuated by the media and word of mouth. If they're in the wrong circles, then their friends might have bad opinions and they're spreading those around. But you know, lately in the past couple of years, it seems to have gone from outright negative, it's for drug dealers and money launderers, to being more neutral. And everyone's heard about crypto now. A lot of people have dabbled with a crypto wallet and their friends have got them to buy something on Binance or crypto.com or these different wallets. And they're just sort of getting their feet in the water to understand, you know, how do I make money with this thing? But what we're trying to still get across is like, it's more than just a way to make money. It's a way to have a better system of finance that we can use in our economy, so we don't have inflation and we don't have so much middlemen like the payment processors, Visa, MasterCard, and the banks, who charge fees for all these payments, and they kind of skim off the top of everyone's transactions that are occurring in the economy. So Bitcoin has a real use case there to help democratize access to the financial system to people in other countries that may not be able to get a bank account. And also to lower the cost of transactions, even for people in the first world, When you're sending CoinHouse payments, we don't charge any fees at all. So you can send a payment to another CoinHouse user and it's completely free. There's no friction at all. And once people get their head around that, it seems like too good to be true to someone sometimes, like how fast you can get an account and then start transacting and it's totally free. But that's what we're trying to demonstrate is, this technology, it's open source. It's fair and equitable. It's not run by any, middlemen who are trying to extract value out of it. And then once people see it in action, they're usually more convinced. And now that the negative media has not been so noisy about it as of late, and it's more getting mainstream adoption with the ETFs and bigger companies starting to invest in Bitcoin, I think people's view on it is starting to come around to be more willing to hear us out about it and give it a try.
How many of these merchants actually listen to you? If they're not previously Bitcoiners and you tell them to hold, but then they see the price going down, even within that short period of time, I'm sure that creates anxiety. Like, do you hear complaints or just concerns from merchants on this front at all, on the volatility in general?
Because a lot of people do think of that when they think of accepting Bitcoin. Oh, what if it goes down? That's the first thing people think of, because as human beings, we have an instinct, right? And we think of like, oh no, what could go wrong kind of thing as human beings sometimes. So I do get complaints. Yeah, I do sometimes. We're like, oh, my holdings went down. And I get that a few times. I do. So I just tell them exactly what Adam was saying there. And that's, don't worry. The way liquidity cycles work is that it is going to go back up like the stock market, like other liquid markets. So I relate Bitcoin to the global liquidity cycle. And that helps people understand that Bitcoin is going to go back up. When in doubt, zoom out. Adam mentioned zoom out. So I tell people all the time, when in doubt, zoom out. I say that at least once a week, at least. Yeah. When in doubt, zoom out. Like, I have to say it because people in general get concerned sometimes, right?
I can tell you're the personality where you're not afraid of a little bit of a confrontational, awkward even conversations. So that's a really important quality to do your work, because I probably wouldn't be able to do your job very well. And what is your typical approach? Let's say I'm owner of Live with Bitcoin bubble tea shop, and then you want to orange pill me. I'm not a Bitcoiner, but you want to convince me to take Bitcoin as a payment method. What is, you walk into my store and then what you do?
So if I walk into your store and if I'm talking to you, Viv, as the owner is there, that's best case scenario. So if the owner's there, I'll say, hi, how are you doing? Do you have a few minutes? Can we chat? And then we'll maybe sit down at a table nearby, like inside their location. And I'll just let them know what I do. I say that I work with a Bitcoin company setting up businesses to accept Bitcoin as a payment option. Over 95% of the time, the business owner gives me a bad look, a dirty look, like as if it's like, I don't know. But then when I let them know, they say, are people really like spending Bitcoin? I've never had someone ask me if they can pay in Bitcoin. That's the most common reply I get. And then I say, well, you don't have many people asking you, because the people that have Bitcoin to spend, they don't know about you. They are not aware that you are accepting Bitcoin. So your current clientele are not going to ask you in most cases, because you're not advertising that you're accepting it. As soon as you start advertising that you're accepting it, I can almost guarantee, in this case, as a bubble tea shop, I can guarantee you increased sales on top of your current clientele from the Bitcoin community, because the Bitcoin community we have in Vancouver is vibrant and enthusiastic, and we want to support businesses that are accepting Bitcoin as a payment option to support the Bitcoin circular economy that we're trying to build. So I say stuff like that to give the owner confidence that they'll get increased sales. And then another really common thing they say is, but how do I like put it in my bank account? How do I cash it out? Well, I let them know that if they hold it and don't cash it out, it most likely make money because it goes up in value a lot more than dollars. Greatest hedge against inflation. I show them the charts sometimes. I don't have to show the chart very often, but I'll just explain. It's a great hedge against inflation. We educate the business owners with how to handle their Bitcoin and how to hold it properly, how they can cash it out, and all of those things. Those are some really big things that the business owner comes up with as rebuttals. Yeah, sometimes though, it's rare, but sometimes I'll walk into a store and ask them and tell them about what we're doing, and they'll be like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" That's happened a couple times, not very often, but it's happened a couple times. And I'm just, when that happens, I'm just like, yes.
Have you encountered any merchants who are like, I'm skeptical about Bitcoin and I don't want to be associated with it. And they would be potentially afraid of, oh, if I have a sign saying I take Bitcoin here, how about me? Would that scare my current customers away because they think Bitcoin is dodgy?
Yeah, that is a legitimate concern that a lot of the business owners do have. That's good you brought that up. So in those cases, there is a couple businesses that are using us. They have that exact concern. So what they're doing is they just don't put up the stickers and they just have it ready. They have them and their staff ready to accept Bitcoin payments from the people that ask. So that's a good question. And yeah, and then also not all the businesses that Coinos has are on the map because they don't want to be on the map. There's a couple businesses that me and Adam have actually found online. Some of them are Vancouver based and they purposely don't want to be on the map because they like the reasons that you said.
Why do you think they took the leap of faith to join Coinos and start taking Bitcoin payment when they're so against it in the first place? Like, what made them want to do it? Because even if the onboarding process is seamless and is very, very easy to do, if you don't really see the point and you're already resisting it to begin with, like, what do you think helped them across that hurdle?
They start off with saying, okay, let's see how it goes. Let's just try it out, see how it goes. So how I word things sometimes is I make them feel like they're not committing to something long-term. So that way they don't feel as hesitant to dive in. If I make it sound like they're going to commit for years, they're going to say no more often. But if I make the business owner comfortable and I just say, well, let's just see how it goes. And if you don't like it, we'll just stop the payments. We'll just turn it off. Or I don't say turn it off. We'll just stop it, right? And then what happens is me and Adam and other people in the community will start promoting that business more than the other businesses. So they get a higher influx of customers to raise their confidence a little bit, to have them have like a good head start. Like me and Adam and the community, we try to ensure that the business owner has a good head start. And that gives their confidence for staying on long term.
Interesting. And the next question for Adam, if you've been around since 2012 and starting to try to get merchants take Bitcoin to pay for coffee and donuts, I'm sure paying with Bitcoin back then is very, very different from paying with Bitcoin today. And in terms of technicality, in terms of adoption rate, and what are some of the differences you've realized or noticed over the years if you think back 10 years ago till today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so back then, I guess in 2012, 2013, there was no Lightning Network. So the Bitcoin transactions we were doing were on-chain. The merchant would have a Bitcoin address, you'd send a payment there. And in that case, it's up to the sender to pay a fee, which is kind of optional. They can choose how much of a fee to pay. And then depending on whether their fee is competitive with other people trying to use Bitcoin at the time, it can take a longer amount of time to get your transaction mined or confirmed in the blockchain. So if the network is busy and you pay a low fee on your transaction, then it can get stuck for hours or days. Or if it's a really low fee, it might just never confirm and it kind of gets forgotten about. And that was not very good for retail payments like coffees and muffins and things. So we can't have these small dollar amounts that don't go through right away. So it worked for a while when Bitcoin was still very new and niche, and the network wasn't busy. So pretty much all transactions were confirming right away, no matter what fee they paid. But in 2017, Bitcoin started to blow up a little bit, and the fee market developed, blocks started getting full, and we ran into this problem where, the customers in some cases had to pay $5 or $10 to get their transaction confirmed, and then the merchant, to be safe, would have to wait for it. They couldn't trust a zero confirmation transaction. So it kind of killed the Bitcoin payments for a couple of years until Lightning came around. And Lightning is kind of a magic technology that without it, I don't think we would have been able to be doing retail Bitcoin payments the way we are now. So that's kind of what happened. We were getting adoption in 2013. We had maybe a dozen different businesses, maybe even two dozen different restaurants, bars. And then it all just kind of petered out because the fees just got out of control for a while there. And so I took a break. We shelved CoinOS for a while. And then, just came back strong again once Lightning was working well.
And before Lightning came along, at any given point, because you understand the technicality of it, and then you understand how what it takes basically for mass adoption and instant, fast and cheap transactions on the Bitcoin standard, before Lightning came along, were you at any given point in doubt of the mission? Because it's with what we had before, it wasn't going to be as good or as convenient as today. So were you ever in doubt?
I had my doubts that we'd be able to do it trustlessly, like the way Lightning does it. I thought we would probably have to go to more custodians and third parties. Just kind of what we do at CoinOS is we do off-chain payments that are like internal within our platform. So if you deposit Bitcoin with us, we give you a credit in your account balance, and then we allow you to transfer that around within CoinOS for free to other users. But we're just kind of keeping track of that in a database, right? So it's not trustless. Like if we screwed up that database and lost those transactions or forgot what your account balance is, or we were malicious and actually went in and fiddled with it, that would screw people up a lot. And, part of the beauty of Bitcoin is that you shouldn't have to trust people like us or custodians to be honest. You should be able to make payments with no middleman and be guaranteed that it's irreversible and it can't be messed with. So it was looking for a while like we were going to lose that ability if we wanted to have Bitcoin scale to be able to compete with Visa and MasterCard and do billions of transactions a day to handle the global economy. There's no way it could do it on chain where people are having to pay fees and get their transactions mined into the blockchain. So it was looking not like Bitcoin was going to fail because it still has a savings technology or a settlement layer. It still makes sense to have this permissionless currency that can't be inflated, and that if you want to hold the keys yourself as a company or a nation state to have your reserves in Bitcoin, you could do that, and then have custodians operating for the payments layer. But luckily, we got the best of both worlds. We have the base layer is working well still, but Lightning made it possible to do these trustless micropayments again, which is just kind of a bonus, like it's icing on the cake.
Cole, from your experience talking to all these merchants on a daily basis, us individual Bitcoiners, now I'm not the bubble tea shop owner, I'm a Bitcoiner now, and then I want to go out and orange pill my local business in my own community as a consumer. What are some of the tips and tricks you can help increase my success rate, for example?
Yeah, the main things would be to let the business owner know as soon as possible when you're talking to them, like within the first 10 seconds to 1 minute, try to get in the points that they will have guaranteed increased sales or that they have no credit card fees when they accept Bitcoin, because merchants incur up to 4.35% on all Visa, MasterCard transactions. So try to get those words in pretty fast with the business owner, because psychologically you only have half a minute, like minutes, sometimes a few minutes, to really capture the attention or capture the trust of the business owner you're talking to. So increased sales, credit, no credit card fees, the instant transactions is big, and free marketing and promotion is what me and Adam give businesses that sign up with Coinos. We market their business on all of our social media pages, X, Instagram, and then Telegram is a really big one. WhatsApp, Stacker, Dun News, sometimes Noster. And that's what we can offer businesses, because that they would rely on the social media marketing. And then the accounting aspect. So basically, I'll narrow it down, sorry. Guaranteed increased sales, zero credit card fees, marketing and promotion, and accounting. The accounting's easy, in my opinion. Sorry, I think it's pretty easy, because on your transaction history screen on Coinos, which is the little clock icon, yeah, shows all your transactions, and then you can export the CSV file, the Microsoft Excel spreadsheet file, for your accountant or bookkeeper with one button. And it's pretty straightforward. It's all itemized.
Vancouver is very diverse, and it's under a lot of influence of a lot of cultures from different parts of the world. Have you noticed any regional or cultural differences in the way that businesses adopt Bitcoin adoption? So, for example, do you identify a trend where the business owners from one part of the world are more likely to adopt Bitcoin than other parts of the world, or cultural influence? Do you see any kind of trends or characteristics there?
Yeah, I mean, I have traveled in the States a bit, and I was in Australia. I went to India for a while years ago, and even back then, I was trying to bring up Bitcoin in these other countries, and just faced with a lot more resistance in those places. I don't know what it is about Vancouver in particular that people are more open to it, but yeah, maybe there's a bit more of a counterculture sort of thing going on here, or more of a distrust of the government or tech optimism. It's hard to put a finger on exactly what our secret sauce is, but yeah, for whatever reason, people here are willing to give it a try. A lot of it is from the immigrant communities too, even within Vancouver. It's we've got, you know, doner shawarma places and Asian restaurants, Mexican, Latin American. So it is kind of a mixed bag of different business owners. A lot of them are, they're from other countries, and maybe they've experienced inflation in their home country, or they're using Bitcoin to do remittance to their families back home. There's all kinds of reasons why they might be a little more open to it.
Right. And if we think about it, immigrants, if we think about how they've made their life choices, I would say on average, they're more of a risk takers. They're more risk takers. They're more adventurous because they've made certain life choices to create a life. They have the courage and the strength to go somewhere else to create a life of their own. And then in a way, they're more optimistic, I would say, because they need to try out different things and see what works and whatnot. So it can make them a bit more open-minded to new concepts, new ideas, just to see what it's like. And it can work, it cannot work, and it's fine. But at the end of the day, they're curious. They're curious about what's happening in this world and how else they can advance as a business or as a person. So that open-mindedness really helps in that case. And I guess what Cole was saying about not giving them the option, giving them the vibe that you're committing into something that's super important and long-term, is just try it and see what happens. The kind of bring that more chill and relaxed mentality into Bitcoin adoption and make it kind of almost gamify it, not gamify it, but make it less serious than it actually is, and kind of downplay the impact here can actually work a long way. And if we think about sometimes we have, like personally, I believe very much in karma, and I believe in offering touch points to merchants. And personally, if I go to a merchant and I really like their stuff and I'm like, do you take Bitcoin? And I would just stop there. They would say no. And then I would say something like, oh, you should. And then I would just stop there. Because I thought if all the Bitcoiners, whenever they go to any shop and just ask, like, do you take Bitcoin? They don't have to take it. They would say no. And then you'll be like, oh, cool. I wish you did, because otherwise I would have. And you should take Bitcoin because it's awesome. Like a really short one line, and then basically just offer a touch point there to make them think about, oh, like, is this Bitcoin thing? And this is coming back to the mirror exposure effect. I'm a big believer in mirror exposure effect. I think human beings are wired to like something more when they're familiar with it, because we want comfort, we want familiarity. And to see Bitcoin getting adapted in different places that we shop to will definitely give people that vibe. I didn't know you've been doing this since 2012, and it's been a long time. And I'm sure in that process, like with the different cycle of the markets and how Bitcoin have been evolving in the past 10 years, and your journey intensely working on CoinOS in the past couple of years, do you have any, I guess, personal philosophies or principles that guide you through your work and interactions with merchants that help you keep going? Because I can imagine there's tons of frustrations from different parts of the business, either from the technical side or regulatory, or even just to encounter these pushback and resistance from merchants on a daily basis. What are some of the guiding principles that help you keep going?
Yeah, I think when I first discovered Bitcoin, I went down the sort of libertarian anarchist Austrian economics rabbit hole a bit. I was working for the federal government when I first discovered Bitcoin, and becoming very disenfranchised there and getting all upset about government waste and how opaque the government spending is and unfair the taxation system is. So I sort of became an anarcho-capitalist at some point and realized Bitcoin is a way to better the world. Like, it's going to give people financial freedom so they can't be censored. It's going to fix the problem of inflation. And if it gets big enough, it might even fix the problem of taxation or state overreach. In general, we might be able to reduce the size of government and have a more free market economy. And I think, you know, the amount of prosperity and abundance that would arise from that on like a macro scale is worth fighting for. So that's what keeps me going, is I don't get discouraged when people have these negative views on it, because I know it's for their own good eventually and for the good of everyone. So yeah, I'm kind of on like a Bitcoin crusade to fight all the negativity about it, bring down the governments, bring down the state, bring down the bankers, and free everyone from their shackles. So it's important work.
We're still incredibly early in terms of Bitcoin adoption on a global scale, which means in this fiat society, we still have to work with the fiat system to legitimize the business and to help businesses incorporate Bitcoin into their system. So how do you feel about having to work with banks when we're trying to basically create our own game? And do you feel the moral kind of complexity or pressure that, oh, I disagree with this, but I have to work along with this. I have to play the game in order to not play the game. Like, how do you feel about the contradiction sometimes?
Yeah, I think I've developed the stance where we don't need to play along with them or play their game anymore. We really should be focused on just building an alternative system that outcompetes them, works better, and that eventually people are going to flock to because it's better. It's technically better. It's morally better. And, you know, there was a time where I thought I should get into the business of being like a Bitcoin broker or exchange. And I couldn't get banked. Like all the Canadian banks will not give me a business bank account because I'm dealing with Bitcoin, even though I'm trying to do it as legitimately as possible, follow all the rules and licensing. They still just won't bank me because I'm competition and that's a threat to their monopoly. So I have a very anti-bank, anti-establishment philosophy where they didn't want to play together nicely. So now we're going to subvert them. We're going to just build a better system without them. And hopefully the sooner the better. If more people start flocking into Bitcoin now and not having to wait for years and years, then we can get rid of them all very quickly if we don't need, you know, banks and governments anymore because we have these alternatives that work well enough. So, yeah, that's important to keep on building these systems, improving the user experience to get it to the point where it is seamless. There aren't these technical glitches and hiccups and things that people are going to struggle with. And the more, you know, that we get an influx of new investors and people coming into the space, the more resources we're going to have available to speed up that train. So more open source developers building more tools and products to make Bitcoin work better and faster and easier for people. So it's going to become a snowball effect where, you know, all these people who had jobs for the banks or the governments, we can hopefully be able to pay them to work on better things now. And then that's just going to accelerate the adoption even more.
Right. And looking back with your own life with Bitcoin, and you've lived with Bitcoin for, at this point, more than a decade, how do you think Bitcoin have changed you personally? Do you think you would have made different life choices if you weren't a Bitcoiner in the past 10 years?
Yeah, it's been a very big impact on my life. It gave me financial freedom. I held on to some Bitcoin that I bought in the early days and did well enough to quit my day job at the government and start building open source software that I want to work on. So I'm very grateful that I found it when I did and took the leap of faith on it. And I just want to share that experience with more people. That's why I'm trying to educate people on it and tell them it's not too late. You didn't miss the boat. There's still a long way to go with Bitcoin. It's still going to appreciate in value even from where it is today. So just continually trying to push that forward. And this is my way of sort of giving back to Bitcoin because it provided me a lot of opportunity in my life. And now I want to contribute back instead of just going and retiring and sitting on a beach all day. I want to take an active role in making the world a better place.
That's amazing. And if we think about it, the merchants that you helped orange pilled back in 2012, 2013, and how much Bitcoin, how many Bitcoin would you pay for a coffee back then if they have held on to it till this day? All these merchants will be living comfortably and expanding their businesses, to say the least. And today, looking back at your journey building CoinOS, being a Bitcoin entrepreneur, for those of whom who are looking to either give back to the community or do a business project of their own in the Bitcoin realm, dealing with all these high pressure, all these volatility that we still face today, what are some of the advice you would give new entrepreneurs in Bitcoin to help them succeed or encounter less obstacles?
Just don't try to interface too much with the legacy systems. It is better to, from the get-go, instead of trying to jump through all the hoops and regulations and banking issues, is just be a Bitcoin-only company, have your treasury in Bitcoin, and eat your own dog food sort of thing. And don't let the naysayers get you down, or the FUD, or the anxieties about scaling or other alternatives to Bitcoin that are going to somehow be better than it or outperform it. Bitcoin is the best one because it's open source, it can evolve, and it does have the best minds in the world continuously developing it. So just keep trying to educate yourself on Bitcoin, how it works at a technical level. And the deeper understanding you get of it, the more confidence you'll have with it.
What are some of the upcoming updates of CoinOS, of what you're doing? How do you see the next 12 months unfold personally and professionally?
So we're looking at adding support for self-custodial wallets right now. So you won't have to trust us as the custodian. Part of the impetus for this was there's new regulation coming out in Canada this fall that we're going to have to register as a payments provider and probably have to do more reporting and hold funds in a trust. And there's just going to be more oversight and hassle for us as a money service business. So I'm trying to get ahead of that by turning CoinOS more into just a tool that you use to interact with Bitcoin, where you don't need to trust us as the custodian of your funds, but you just use it to manage your own funds and potentially pick from a host of different custodians. So maybe we'll be one option as an eCash issuer or mint. That if you want us to custody some of your funds, you can up to a certain amount, but you'll have the option to use CoinOS as a sort of a client app to interact with many different issuers or custodians. And hopefully that gets us off the hook on the regulatory side a little bit, because we're just giving people software to run on their own device. And just like, if they were running a web browser or something, the makers of Chrome and Firefox are not liable for the websites that you visit or what you do online. So we just want to get into the business of being a software developer more than a financial institution. And besides the self-custody aspect, and eCash is another thing I sort of touched on there, but we also want to add more social features and gamification to the wallet, so that people can use it for finding their friends, managing their contacts, following people, messaging people, sort of have it be like a bit of a hybrid wallet / Noster social media client, where you can do your posts and post videos and images and use it as a sort of a social media app in addition to a payments app.
Every Bitcoiner will be benefited from more merchants getting adopted, getting onboarded onto the Bitcoin standard, taking Bitcoin as a mean of payment in different parts of the world, understanding the value of Bitcoin. Now they've had a stake in it and they can pay more attention because now they have to care. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat. And I'm looking forward to seeing more merchants around in the community that takes Bitcoin and continue to support you guys with your initiatives. Thank you for joining.
Thanks, Vivian. This is awesome.
This is another episode of Live with Bitcoin. I'm your host, Vivian, and we'll see you in the next episode.